All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. And Father, thank you again that you brought us to this point in time that we can quiet ourselves and sit at your feet and learn from you. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us. Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would anoint me to speak your heart to the hearts of your people, that the secrets of our hearts will be revealed today, that we would leave here knowing that, Lord, you were truly in this place. Thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 4, looking at verses 1 through 10, the title of this message is Something About the Name of Jesus. There's some of you know what that is. There's something about the name. And, you know, this is never more true than it is today. You mention the name of Jesus and everyone goes crazy, getting their feelings, faces are red, voices are raised, and anger is expressed. What is it about this name that the Bible says even demons tremble at that name? It's amazing. We're going to see in these verses and throughout the book of Acts the power that's in the name of Jesus. Now, last week we left off with Peter making this declaration after being questioned about the healing of the lame man in chapter 3. He declared to them in Acts 3 verse 16, he says that it was through Jesus Christ that the man was healed, and there is no other way that a person can be made whole apart from Jesus Christ. And now we're going to pick up the story in verses 1 through 4. Look what it says there. It says, now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 15,000. Oh, 5,000, as you were. I'm going to mention 15,000 later on. 5,000. But you're going to see it's going to be 15,000 later on. Okay. Now, in these verses, we see what took place after Peter preached his sermon to the people in chapter 3. The use of the plural pronoun they in verse 1 teaches us that it was both Peter and John who spoke to the people. Then suddenly, verse 1 tells us that the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Now, I mentioned that these people came suddenly upon them because the phrase came upon in the Greek is epistemi, and it has the idea of coming upon suddenly, sometimes with hostile intent. The same Greek word is used this way in Acts 6 and verse 12, when these same religious leaders came upon Stephen to bring him before the council. They brought him with hostile intent. So who are these people who came upon Peter and John with such hostility? Well, the priests, who were the ordinary priests there in the temple conducting the evening sacrifices, they were there. The captain of the temple was the chief of the temple police and was composed of Levites. He was the second in rank only to the high priest and was responsible for maintaining order on the temple grounds. The Sadducees, they were the liberal religious leaders of the day. And they believed in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, but they denied anything supernatural. According to Acts 23, verse 8, they denied the resurrection, angels, and spirits. The Pharisees, they were the conservative religious leaders of the day, and they believed in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, but they also believed in the supernatural as well. And this is why you will always find the Sadducees and the Pharisees at odds with one another. Verse 2 says that this group in verse 1, which was made up of mostly Sadducees, were greatly disturbed. Now, that Greek word is diaponeo, And it's an amazing Greek word. It means to be grieved or be worried or greatly disturbed. Now, why were they so upset? Why is it that they were so greatly disturbed at Peter and John? Because verse 2 goes on to say that they were so upset for two reasons. Number one, that they taught the people. And number two, that they preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Oh, they felt that Peter and John were not qualified to teach the people, and how dare they teach the people about the resurrection of Jesus, something the Sadducees strongly denied. They put Jesus to death as a blasphemer, and Peter and John were boldly proclaiming that Jesus was their resurrected Messiah. Oh, haven't you found this to be true lately? Whenever Jesus is preached, people are greatly disturbed and grieved and agitated. Oh, verse 3 says that they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening, confirming that they came upon them with hostile intent. The fact that Luke, the author, tells us that it was evening meant that it was too late to gather the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish Supreme Court, for a trial that day, and Jewish law did not permit trials at night. And this is according to the Mishnah, which was the Jewish traditions, according to the Sanhedrin, chapter 4, verse 1. However, they ignored all of this when it came to the trial of Jesus, because they tried Jesus at night. You know what this teaches us? Just like what Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Oh, people do it today. Oh, they pick and choose parts of the Bible they're going to obey. Whatever it is that's going to suit them or not suit them. Oh, we're going to ignore that or say that's not for today, or say that that's for a different time, or that verse really doesn't say what it says. We're no different today. They knew they were not supposed to hold a trial at night, but they held the trial of Jesus at night, because they wanted to get rid of Jesus. And so they would break even their own Jewish law in order to get rid of Jesus. And so too, if people do the same thing today, they would break certain laws if it suit them. Oh, the Bible is very clear of what it is when people are living together and they're not married. But though, we're going to break this because I'm in a financial bind. And so people pick and choose who call themselves Christians. We're going to pick and choose what we're going to follow. It's no different today. It's no different at this time as well. So Peter and John were held overnight for a trial the next day before the very Sanhedrin that tried Jesus. I want you to please pay very close attention to these verses and what is happening to Peter and John, because these things are going to start happening to us as Christians here in America. I want you to notice this. Pay close attention to this. See, we're going to be arrested for the preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ. Oh, I have seen it in spots around the country. But it will start happening in a greater way in the very near future. In places around the country, in Texas and Georgia, pastors are being told, are being asked to turn in their sermons to be examined to see if anything offensive is in them. Oh, there's a line being drawn in the sand, and those who profess Jesus Christ will stand, and those who pretend will fall. The question is, what category are you going to find yourself in? Only time will tell, but let me just say, before you start shaking your head, oh, I'll be in the good category. You'll say anything sitting in here. You'll say anything, but when the rubber meets the road, when it really comes down to being arrested for being a Christian, watch this. Will there be enough evidence to convict you? Or will they, after examining you, say, oh, we made a mistake. You can get your clothes. You can go. There was not enough evidence that you being a Christian, so you can go. Our bad. Our fault. We thought you were one of them. I just wonder, would they say that about us? Would they say it about us? And so, What now? We have to ask, was the preaching of Peter and John effective? Was it effective what they did? Because many people say, well, you preach Jesus today, you know, people are offended, it's not effective, you know, it doesn't work anymore. And this is why people leave in the faith, because they're preaching that old school, preaching the word, that doesn't work anymore. Oh, well, okay, well, so was it effective? Let's ask the Bible question. Was the preaching of Peter and John effective? Verse 4 says, however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Notice the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Meaning that, counting women and children, remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 men? Counting women and children, there were 15 to 20,000. That's where, so I was a little ahead of myself earlier, but so there could have been 15 to 20,000. It was just 5,000 men here were added. So putting Peter and John in prison didn't water down the effect of the gospel, because those who heard it grew the church in Jerusalem by at least 5,000 men. And as we will see throughout the book of Acts, whenever the church was persecuted, it grew in a mighty way. Now the 120 who were in the upper room praying in Acts chapter 1 verse 15, it grew to 3,000 in chapter 2 verse 41, and now here at least by another 5,000 men. So preach the word, because the power is in the word, not necessarily in the people giving the word. Oh, I say this because Peter and John, who were in prison, that they were in prison, but the results were the church grew by at least 5,000 men, at least. So preach the word, because the faith needed to receive Christ and believe the claims of Christ, they're in the word. Oh, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Faith comes by what? The word. James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. What saves our soul? It's when that word has been implanted in our very souls. That's how we're saved. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides in us. How are we born again? Through the word. So preach the word no matter what. In season and out of season, as the Bible says, and you will have some who will believe. See, here's the thing. We focus so much on the people who say, oh, you mentioned that. I'm offended. I'm offended that you said that. I'm offended that you said I was a sinner and need a savior. I'm offended that, and we focus so much on everyone who's touchy-touchy and offended. And we focus on that, but you have to remember, preach the word anyway. There'll be some who will believe. Not everyone's going to be offended. Even though one person will seem like 100, there will be some who will believe. We see it here, at least 5,000 men. They went home, told their families and stuff. And so 15, 20,000 were filling up the church at that particular time. So the church in Jerusalem grew by at least 5,000 men after the word was preached. Oh, let me hit the pause button and just tell you this. This church here has grown not by programs, gimmicks, and slick presentations, but by the word of God as it is taught chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and book by book from Genesis to Revelation. You hear the word of God taught, then you go back and tell your family members, friends, and coworkers and say, you got to come hear this stuff. He's not up there and God said, ha, and he's not doing that. That's not what he's doing. He's giving you the word. And then you're like, you got to come hear this stuff. And then after they come, they say, you know what? They go tell their friends and family members, you got to come hear this stuff. And all it is just read the word, explain it, apply it, and we go home and try to live it. It's no slick presentations and all kind of gimmicks and programs that we're doing to get people to come through the door. One guy was blown away one time. This was, maybe, I think it was earlier this year. He came on a Wednesday night. He said, I just had to see what's going on here. He said, because people coming in and out in the parking lot look like it's a convention going on. And he came, and it was about this many people on a Wednesday night, and he just came, he was blown away. Blown away. It's nothing, we don't have any slick presentations and gimmicks and skits and all kind of dramas and stuff. We just don't, God bless those who are doing that. Amen. Praise the Lord. They got a drama department at the church. Hey, God bless them. Praise the Lord. Everyone likes a drama. Amen. I mean, you know, hey, praise the Lord. That's just not how we led to do it. We led to just teach you the word and let that word that's being implanted in your very soul change you from the inside out. No program, gimmick, or slick presentation is going to change a soul. Won't change a bit. You'll be entertained, though. You'll be entertained, but you won't be saved. You won't be changed, but you'll be entertained. And hey, and there are people who want to be entertained today. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. But we're not doing it like that here. So this is how this church has grown, just by giving the word. Simple people, if they want to come and say, well, how you guys doing that? You know, I see you got all kind of folks coming in and out. Okay, yeah, we have over 30 different countries in attendance at our church. Well, how did you do that? We just taught the word. And like this. No, we just taught the word. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We know that the interpretation of that, he's being lifted up on the cross. The application is when Jesus is lifted up in the volume of the book, the word of God. Jesus said it's all about him. When we exalt him through the teaching of the word, he draws all people to him. The racial lines get erased because everybody's coming in because they want to hear about that Jesus. And this is what we do. We exalt him through the teaching of the word of God. And this is what we then, God has grown the church. And we sit back, and my wife and I, and we just pinch ourselves, and we're blown away. We're blown away. You know, just fill up empty, fill up. It just blows us away. Blows us away. Blows us away. People keep coming back. You know why? Because of the word. The Bible says in Acts 13, when we get there, it said they preached the word to them. And then it says, and the next week, the entire city came out to hear the word of God. The word was preached. It created a hunger for the word. And the whole city came out to hear the word. It's nothing in us. Peter said, why do you look at us as though by our own power, godliness, we've made this man walk? It's not about us. It's in Jesus, in his name, that this man was made whole. And so this is what we try to do. And God has graciously grown the church that I still pinch myself even today. Look at verses 5-7. It says, and it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now, in these verses, we see a beautiful submission by Peter and John to the arrest that took place in verse 3. We see Peter and John offer no resistance during their arrest, nor to the Sanhedrin they were about to face. Why? Because they knew that whatever happened to them, don't miss this, God allowed. And because they knew that their arrest would give them the opportunity and the platform to preach about Jesus in front of the Jewish Supreme Court, an opportunity they would have never gotten had they not been arrested. Oh, this is important for us to understand. Sometimes God uses and allows what we call unfortunate circumstances to give us a platform to share Jesus Christ on a stage that we would have never been on had these unfortunate circumstances not happened to us. Oh, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus. Listen to what he says in Mark 13 and verse 11. He said, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now, according to Jesus, he will allow certain unfortunate circumstances to happen to us, like being arrested for our faith, in order for us to speak about him on a larger stage. Well, he tells us at this time not to premeditate on what to say in these moments, because he will have his Holy Spirit speak through us, like we see in the lives of Peter and John. So verse 5 says, on the next day, the rulers, the elders and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many of the family of the high priest were gathered together, according to verse 6. Now, who are these people? The rulers, they were also called the chief priests elsewhere in the scripture. The elders were the heads of the families, as well as the head of the 12 tribes. The scribes were mostly consisted of the Pharisees. You remember, they were the conservative religious leaders of the day. These are the people who made up the 70-member Sanhedrin, or the Jewish Supreme Court. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. Now, why is it that there were two high priests? Annas was the high priest recognized by the people, because according to Jewish law, when you're appointed as high priest, you're high priest for life or until you die. And Caiaphas, his son-in-law, was appointed by Rome. So he was the high priest Rome recognized, and he was the one they could manipulate. John is short for Jonathan, and was Caiaphas' son, who later replaced his father as high priest. And poor Alexander, we have no clue who he is. There ain't nothing about him. We don't know anything about him. You know, we know that he's a family member of either Annas or Caiaphas. There were other family members there. Why is his name mentioned? We don't know. We have no clue. But God knew. He was there. Alexander. Now, in verse 7, they set Peter and John in the midst of a semicircle. That's how the Sanhedrin was set up. And they asked them, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Now, keep in mind, they had every right to question Peter and John. It was their job and their duty to question anyone who tried to teach the people. And so they asked, "By what power, by what name, or that you have done this?" Now, see, a name, because we hear that, "By what name?" You're like, what's the big deal about a name? Well, at this time, name represents authority. And so seeing that they, the Sanhedrin, felt like Peter and John were rebels, they wanted to know who gave them the authority to do the things that they were doing. They were saying, because we didn't give you the authority, then who did? Dime them out. We want to know. Now, how did they answer them? Look at what it says in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I stop right there? Let me stop right there, because as I was reading this and about to study this, the Holy Spirit had me stop right there. And I said, "Lord, why is it that this jumps off the page to me now?" I said, "Why is that, Lord? What is it about this? I've read this hundreds of times. So, but why is it now jumping off the page?" And the Lord began to minister to my heart and say, "You know what? There's some things I want you to see in this statement alone. The first thing the Lord began to minister to my heart is that what took place, the filling of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, was not a one-time occurrence." And this is why it says, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. If he was, quote unquote, already filled, so to speak, then what was the need to mention this here? So Peter was filled again with the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing. And then the Lord said, "Now I want you to see what I would do when you're filled with my Holy Spirit. I want you to see the results of me filling someone with the Holy Spirit." Because being filled with the Holy Spirit made a huge difference in the life of Peter that God wanted us to see and pay close attention to. Why? Why? Because 2 months earlier, he denied the Lord by a fire, not once, but 3 times. Then Pentecost occurred in Acts chapter 2, where he was filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now in chapter 4, the Holy Spirit is saying, "Look at the difference I made in the life of Peter. 2 months ago, he was a chicken. 2 months later, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he has a fire and a boldness. See, fire does two things. Number one, it consumes. And number two, it purifies. It depends upon the object placed in the fire. By the enemy's fire, Peter was consumed and burned and denied the Lord 3 times. Touched by the fire of the Holy Spirit, he was purified and blessed. So if you want to stand when things get hot in your life, and things will get hot, daily ask the Lord to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit, like Luke 11 verse 13 says. So Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people," in the second part of verse 8, "and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he was made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you here whole." Amazing. Amazing. In these verses, we see in verse 9, Peter was saying, Are we really being judged for a good deed done to a helpless man? If so, can you tell me why? Well, that was a good question. He said, if we did a good deed for a helpless man, you remember the guy sat at the beautiful gate and begged for alms? He said, y'all know him, you pass him every day. Now, we did a good deed for a helpless man. Is this what we've been called on the carpet for? That's a good question Peter was asking. And we can see that the filling of the Holy Spirit gave Peter the boldness to speak on behalf of Jesus Christ, where 2 months ago he was afraid and denied the Lord. We see this confirmed in Acts 4 in verse 31, where it says, they prayed and was filled with the Holy Spirit again, and they spoke the word with boldness. Peter said in verse 10, you ask in verse 7, by what power or by what name we have healed this man? Now, let me boldly let it be known to you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, look at the boldness, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Oh, the question is, can you boldly proclaim the name of Jesus like Peter did here? Or are you timid and afraid you might offend someone, which is the buzzword for today, might offend someone? I was telling a group of young leaders out in California a couple of weeks ago. I said, I remember when the tide began to turn back in the 80s when I was in the Marine Corps. And, you know, you say something about the Lord and people, you know, if somebody said, you know, I'm offended by that, we used to look at them and say, so? So what, you offended? Still true. You're still a sinner. They're in need of a savior. What, you offended? But today, that is the hush word. You say I'm offended and all mouths get zipped and everybody get afraid. We need some bold proclaimers of the truth of God's word today. Some people who are not going to be afraid, not going to shrink by, I'm offended, not going to be shrink back, I'm going to be called into office. We need some bold. The Bible said the righteous are as bold as a lion. We're the lions for God today. Where are you? Are you out there? Because the righteous are as bold as a lion. Today we just got little puppies. There are no lions out there, bold to proclaim. I didn't say speak the word in anger and, you know, no, the Bible says speak the truth in love. But you still proclaim it. And there's just a lot of chickens and a lot of, you know, as we used to say a long time, afraidy cats, scaredy cats. And then all this, that's what we have today. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. So we also know that the Holy Spirit gives us this boldness to speak for Jesus Christ, because the beginning of verse 13, just take a peek, says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. So how do we get this boldness from the Holy Spirit? Well, you got to wait until next time. That's when we will pick it up. Let me conclude with this. Yes, there is something about the name of Jesus. When we speak it, we need to be ready for people to be offended, angry, upset. We may even get arrested and called into the boss's office. Jesus said, don't premeditate on what to say because he will give us the words to say at that time. Finally, if you have been timid lately or afraid to speak for Jesus Christ, ask the Lord to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit, and he will answer this by giving you the boldness to speak on his behalf. We need this boldness because everything is pointing to us getting in trouble for speaking the name of Jesus. Why is that? Because there's still something about that name. Even today, in the 21st century, just like it was in the first century, there's still something about that name. And may God raise us up to be bold witnesses for him today, to proclaim the truth of God's word and the power of his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time, this opportunity to share your word. And dear God, we just pray that you would just do a work in us. Lord, I pray for your people who are timid and afraid. Lord, may they be as bold as a lion, Lord. Raise us up, Lord, to be proclaimers of your truth and love. And Lord, I pray if there is anyone here who has not repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, may today be the day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name, amen.